When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's also the start of the Major League Baseball postseason, and that's what October is all about. We'll get our first chance to see Shohei Ohtani in the playoffs, first chance for the Tigers and Royals in quite a while. Also, first opportunity to see the Yankees as one of those top seeds in the American League. It's been a while for the Yankees to be in a position of strength and prominence, right? But they're going to have a lot of competition from the rest of the American League, and I would think namely from the Guardians, who've been consistently good over the course of this season. So excited about what's to come in October, and that includes football. We haven't even had a chance to talk about the college weekend. Georgia-Alabama really set the tone on Saturday night. And if we don't get to it on this show, of course, we'll get to it on Monday night, as well as finding the final two teams from the National League as wild cards. We've got to wait on that Maves and Bretts. Oh, man, that's what happens on a Sunday night into a Monday. The Mets and Braves doubleheader. And if they split, both teams make it. If one team sweeps, of course, that team goes on, but then the Diamondbacks would get in as well. And speaking of Arizona, the Cardinals were hosting the Commanders. Do you think this was an NFL scheduling quirk or potentially an NFL scheduling accident on purpose? I know they talk about how the computers put the schedule together, and they've got this computer service. I don't know if it's AI yet or not. It probably will be in the future, but it's actually called Amazon. It's not Amazon, the massive company that delivers everything to your door without paying any fees, but it's a company that comes up with a ton of different scheduling scenarios, millions of different scheduling possibilities. And I do believe that the NFL has some final say, as in humans, right? Because we get matchups that are intriguing, players versus their former clubs, or in this case, Cliff Kingsbury with his new offense, the new engine that is driven by Jaden Daniels and the various weapons he's got around him against the team that Cliff Kingsbury used to coach and the quarterback with whom he had a fractured relationship, or at the very least, a volatile relationship before he got out of coaching. Remember, Kingsbury was fired, and then he wanted nothing to do with football. He was offered a couple of other jobs at the time, and I don't know if he still has the same relationship. He took off to Thailand with a girlfriend and had a one-way ticket, was not returning anytime soon. He took a bunch of calls from other NFL teams, but politely declined. He was not interested in going back to coaching. Dan Quinn, though, hires him to be the offensive coordinator for Jaden Daniels in D.C., and we have now seen this team and this offense post back-to-back convincing wins. And so how triumphant for Kingsbury to return to the desert where Kyler Murray is, of course, still playing, and initially throws a touchdown pass to Marvin Harrison on the opening drive for the Cards. But after that, Commanders off to the races.
First and goal, Washington at the 6, looking for an answer. Cardinals lead 7-0, 5:18 to go here. First quarter clock running, snap, handoff. Robinson up the middle towards the goal line. Is he? And he is! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! An answer to the Cardinals' opening drive. First and goal at the 9. B-Rob to the right of Daniels, trying to strike quickly with a 10-point lead here, starting the second half. Snap. Sprint to the right, following a block from Robinson, gets to the corner of the end zone! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! What a play call! Third and goal from the 10. 8:40 to go, fourth quarter. Daniels gives some directions to McCaffrey, who's out to the right. Two wide receivers to the left. Here's the snap. Arizona breaks four. Plenty of time for Jayden. Throws over to the middle, into the end zone. That is caught! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! Terry McLaurin, back-to-back weeks for a score in the fourth!
That's Bram Weinstein with the calls. And there were a bunch of them on the Commanders radio network. 27 unanswered points for Washington after initially falling behind 7-0. They took the lead on a 93-yard march. And this is what I like to see from the rookie. He can stay patient. He can mix the run and the pass. And there were a total of 4 rushing TDs by the Commanders on Sunday. Jeremy McNichols ends up with a pair of them. But yeah, they can control the ball for 7.5 minutes on that drive in which they took the lead. And Washington is able to score on all 4 possessions in the second half. Another near 7 minutes with the football. So keeping it away from the Cardinals. And you know how Kyler Murray can be limited? Well, if he doesn't ever get on the field, if he doesn't have an opportunity with the football, or if the defense forces him to give it up quickly, the time of possession is always really important. I think when you're talking about two teams that have quarterbacks who can make plays with both their arms and their legs, and the Commanders are about +7 in the time of possession battle. So yeah, Washington is able to consume time off the clock with these longer drives, nearly 450 yards of offense. And how about this? 216 rushing yards for the Commanders. And that's not all Jayden Daniels. But it's really impressive to see what they did in clutch moments. They're 4 of 5 in the red zone. They were 10 of 13 on third and fourth down. Not getting a whole lot of resistance from the Cardinals. But now 3 straight wins to top the NFC East. And a win is a win. Who cares where it comes from or whether or not people think it's legit because the Cardinals stink. It still counts. And I like that the Commanders are taking care of their business. And also, what's not to like about Jayden Daniels? So far, through 4 games, an 82% completion rate. That's not something you normally see from a rookie QB. But he goes 26 of 30 in this game on the road. And like Terry McLaurin, who comes away with a touchdown, like Jayden Daniels, these guys, they're digging that Cliff Kingsbury offense.
It's awesome. I mean, me and Cliff just had that communication, that honesty. We're able to go in, his office and say, hey, I don't like this. And he's here for it. He wants to put us in the best spot.
Brian Robinson with 100 yards on the ground as well. And so, of course, that helps. But they were terrific in controlling the ball, in using their opportunities, and not allowing these opportunities to go by, but also just staying patient, able to work these longer drives and come away with points. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, online at A-Law Radio. Where's the wacky and the weird in this first month of the NFL season? I'm thinking the Commanders being on top of the NFC East is definitely wacky. I like it. I think it's a terrific story. And while I do believe it's way too early to be talking about how the Commanders got the better pick at quarterback at the top, remember, we had 3 QBs selected, 1, 2, 3. Caleb Williams was always the Bears' choice. He's looked better, and he talked about it just before the break, having to find that rhythm after being away from football games and just the speed of the game for so long. But here's Jayden Daniels, who looks so comfortable already. And that's a huge credit to both Dan Quinn as well as Cliff Kingsbury. As for Kyler Murray, I'm sure this one stung a little more, but they fall to 1-3 in the desert.
Frustrated. you know, to get beat like that at home, just in general, get beat like that. You know, I thought we had a good week of practice and didn't come out here and show it.
They actually had 180 yards on the ground. So James Conner, another terrific day. He was over 100 yards. He had a score. Kyler didn't throw a ton. So only 16 of 22, had a touchdown, got sacked a few times. So the Commanders were able to put some pressure on him. And Dan Quinn, you know, defense is his heart.
Told the defense here, you're closer than you think. And it hadn't been the performances that we wanted going into today. But I didn't think we were as far off. And so I thought, you know, knock one out with Uz to get one, get the recovery. I thought that was big. Felt their pass rush, you know, and the guys, the energy.
So for Dan, getting a second chance at a head coaching job, starting fresh with a young quarterback, able to bring in some pieces on defense. Of course, the Commanders did divest themselves of multiple defensive pieces last year. Remember when they realized it was going down the tubes? They got a new owner in Josh Harris and his group. And that group have an established winning track record. They have a particular business plan. They are investing in the team. They want it to win, but they made the change at coach. And of course they wanted a new QB, and now they've won three in a row and maybe, just maybe, are ahead of schedule. As for the Cardinals, second year with Jonathan Gannon. And of course he didn't have Kyler Murray for most of last season, but trying to figure out how to get this offense into a rhythm. And yeah, getting punched in the mouth at home.
Like I said, it's this league's very humbling, and we got humbled today. So we'll get back to it, and the positive will be what we get out of this tape tomorrow, the adjustments that we make, the corrections that we make, and we'll get better from it. That's what will be the positive from it.
From week to week, everything changes so rapidly in the NFL, so I could see them bouncing back. But I also believe that the first month of the season is about consistency and who can find that first, that rhythm, if you will. And the Commanders are getting better and better. So think about it. Last week against the Bengals, they scored 38 points. I think I actually had them over 40, so that was my fault. I remembered incorrectly. But they had 38 points last week on a Monday night win against Cincinnati on the road. And now a second consecutive game on the road, they're able to put up big points, this time 42. So have they found that consistency? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. While we're talking about the NFC East, Commanders, top team in the NFC East, did you happen to catch any of the Buccaneers and the Eagles? Well, if you blinked or if you missed the early stages of this one, you missed the Buccaneers coming out like a house on fire. It was an energetic start for Tampa. And this one taking place in Tampa, where, by the way, Tom Brady was the analyst. And there were photos as well as videos of him and Baker Mayfield connecting before the game. It was interesting, too, because Baker, remember, had those cuts on, or had those comments, I should say, on the podcast, Da Club podcast, that he made last week. And we played them for you here. And he said, essentially, I'm paraphrasing, that under Tom Brady, it was very high strung. The locker room was stressed out, he said. And that he was brought in to be himself, to help them relax. And that it was a very different feel from when Brady was the QB. Now, Brady, for Baker's part, he said post-game that the comments were taken out of context. Of course, that's what he's going to say. And maybe that's true, but it's hard not to pinpoint those comments about Tom Brady. And then he's the one doing the game. So apparently the two of them talked beforehand. And then on the broadcast, Brady said something along the lines of, yeah, I wasn't there to have fun and to make friends. If I didn't win a Super Bowl, it was a failure or it was a disappointment. And so if I want to have fun, I'll take my kids to Disneyland. But what I was there to do was to win. And of course, they did win the Super Bowl in 2020. But the two of them connected beforehand. No hard feelings between them. And I can imagine that Brady is good with supporting Baker because he did help to bring another Super Bowl to the Bucs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So the Eagles part of this, well, they were unable to keep up Had a couple of turnovers, which was the issue for them against the Saints last week, though they were able to rally past the Saints. But if you missed the first half, yeah, you missed Baker and the Bucs taking advantage of the Eagles' mistakes and blowing it up early.
Bucky Irving is a sidecar. Shotgun look now. Second and goal from the two-yard line. Far side hash moving left. Right under the pirate ship of that north end zone. Mayfield directing traffic. Trip receivers to the left. Looks that way. Throws that way. In the end zone. Caught ball. Touchdown Tampa Bay. Mike Evans. Fire the cannons. Our second snap a little low. Baker Mayfield dips the shoulder. Throws a pass. It's a caught ball in the end zone. Did you hang on? Touchdown Tampa Bay. Trey Palmer.
Yeah, Baker with three touchdowns in the first half, and the Bucs were already up 24-7. They had a muffed punt in there from Philly. I told you that was the theme. Muffed punts and fumbles on kick returns. But they were able to score touchdowns on three of their first four drives. Philadelphia had very little yardage in the first half. In fact, as they take the first snap of the third quarter, Saquon Barkley rumbles 59 yards, and that nearly doubled their output in the first half. I think they had 69 yards in the first half, and then he takes one snap and goes 59 yards, and that's almost twice as much yardage. They really could not get a whole lot going, and they hurt themselves again. They had multiple attempts inside the two-yard line, finally able to get Jalen Hurts across the goal line. So they did get a touchdown, but then right away, Tampa Bay would answer and would keep the ball for long stretches and put pressure on that Eagles defense. They were tired, no doubt. Bucky Irving has another touchdown run in this one, but Baker was using those two receivers that, of course, were so thrilled to have Tom Brady for a few years with Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. They remained there. Baker had a chance to work out a rhythm with them last season, and you can tell that it really matters, and that it having that consistency with the same quarterback and the heart of that receiving core has been huge. Lavonte David, he was really active for the Buccaneers as well. He has a strip sack, and then Tampa's able to add more points. So this was a landslide. A Philadelphia Eagles team that, again, could not capitalize on opportunities, was really stunted by turnovers, and the Buccaneers able to dominate on both sides of the ball. So Baker with 347 yards and the three touchdowns from the first half.
The guys were just locked in. You know, we came out hair on fire mentality. Everybody was locked into what the plan was, and so that's why we executed that quickly. But that needs to be the case every week.
The defense, by the way, had six sacks. Try to say that about six times really fast. Had a half dozen sacks, that's easier, as well as six more hits on Jalen Hurts. And they were missing their top two receivers, which is a big deal. There was no A.J. Brown, no Devontae Smith, and Jalen was limited.
I didn't play good enough. That's what it comes down to. The opportunities. You know, it's put a lot of time in this week to take advantage of this game and what we had and the guys that, you know, we had a lot of trust in, and we took advantage of some and some we didn't. But ultimately, it starts with me.
Dallas Goedert was their leading receiver, and Barkley, the running back, was their second leading receiver. So just not a lot of great options for him in the passing game, which meant, of course, that they were more limited, and the Tampa Bay defense knew that. This reminds me a little bit of what we're seeing with the Rams. No Puka Nacua, no Cooper Kupp, limited. They do have one really good running back in Kyren Williams, but Matthew Stafford is seeing the pressure and doesn't have a lot of deep options or guys that know him well and know how to come back to the ball when he has to get rid of it quickly. Buccaneers pile up nearly 450 yards of offense, but the defense is always something that they want to be kind of as their baseline. They want to be physical and tough. They want to be able to get the ball back to their offense quickly. And this is more of the same from Nick Sirianni and the Eagles, in that they will win a game and they'll look real good, and then they'll lose one and look pitiful. Even last week in rallying past New Orleans, they didn't look terrific on offense. Of course, injuries have a lot to do with it, but who are they, Nick Sirianni?
I think it's early, and I think there's a lot of teams' stories unwritten right yet. I don't think. You know, again, you have some things, you have some base things that you think that you do well. But to say you know, we know what our identity is. Yeah, I mean, I think that's just a, yeah, I mean, we're going to figure out what we do well. We're going to continue, try to continue to do that, see what we don't do well, try to get out of that, and then try to mesh some of the things that together.
We got high aspirations as a football team. We've grown together, and we'll have different adversities that will challenge us, and we just got to continue to grow and learn from everything we experience.
Jalen Hurts takes every week and breaks it down both physically and mentally. He's philosophical about it. I like that from a leader, and I do believe that he's a guy that the locker room will listen to. But this goes back to last season with them being wildly inconsistent. Injuries or no, he's the one who has to be able to find that forward motion, that forward momentum, and he's got to use the guys that are around him. Lots of teams are dealing with injuries already in this first month, but this, again, goes back to the end of last season where they finished up by losing five of their last six, missed the playoffs, and they haven't yet locked in. Again, not enough that I think they can really rely on it or then fans can really rely on it. So the Eagles are now back to 2-2, looking up. Are you kidding? Looking up at the Commanders in the NFC East. You've also got the Cowboys after winning on Thursday night. They're 2-2. That leaves the Giants in the basement at 1-3. Although if misery loves company, New York football fans, whether Giants or Jets, are going to be pretty miserable following week number 4. It was a miserably rainy day on Sunday at MetLife Stadium, and Aaron Rodgers hated it. Broncos and Jets. I think that was a pick for a lot of people in Survivor pools, specifically on Survivor Island, and it was a one-point game. We'll get to it next. At A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, too, where did you see the wacky and the weird in the first 4 weeks of this NFL season?
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
It was a tough day to play football in New Jersey. I will admit that, readily admit that. The stadium, MetLife Stadium, the home of the...
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT! Touchdown!
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The Giants and the Jets is about 15 minutes south of where I live. And we didn't see the sunshine over the weekend, not even Friday. So it was cloudy, rain starting on Friday. I ran my half marathon in rain on Saturday. It wasn't a washout. It didn't rain the whole time, but I was soaked by the time I got done because it rained enough. We had winds, and then it rained essentially all day on Sunday. Into the murk, into the moist and the wet and the humid and the slippery little sucker that is the football. That is the setting for the Broncos and the Jets. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It was definitely rough and rainy. And honestly, for the fans that were in the stands, I give them a ton of credit because there was not a whole lot to cheer for. Most of them were wearing ponchos and were trying to stay dry as best they could. But this was a 6-0 game at the half, as in 2 field goals. One came after a Denver fumble. That was maybe the highlight for the New York Jets. Middle of the third quarter, though, Bo Nix, the rookie for Denver, and those Denver weapons that he has around him. So the Broncos able to move the ball. First real explosive play from the Broncos was a deep shot to Cortland Sutton that was a big part of their 87-yard drive.
Third and 7, tight trips left. Franklin, Lil, Jordan Humphrey, and Sutton with Dulcich flank wide right. Nix takes a shotgun snap, 4-man rush, throws back in the end zone. Sutton's there, makes the catch, touchdown, Denver.
That's Dave Logan on the Broncos Radio Network. First one of Bo Nix's career. So he'd had a few rushing touchdowns, but had not been able to pass for a TD. So he gets the ball right back from Cortland Sutton, and no doubt he was going to keep it. That, by the way, the only touchdown of the game between the Broncos and the Jets. So they exchange field goals then. Broncos still clinging to a 1-point lead in the fourth quarter. But Aaron Rodgers, this is Aaron Rodgers. He's a future Hall of Famer.
Shotgun snap, 5-man pressure. Rodgers hit before he throws it. Sack! P.J. Locke! Loss of 10. Vance Joseph brought the house. And P.J. Locke hit Aaron Rodgers right in the middle of the back.
Locke was nearly unblocked. Locke was unlocked, if you will. I know, terrible. But Denver gets a big sack of Rodgers. And he was mobile on a couple of plays earlier in the game, but not the same. Needed to get rid of that ball, but he did get hit from behind with under 2 minutes to go in the game. Now, there's still opportunities here. Remember, this is the Broncos offense. No great shakes. So the Broncos miss a field goal from 50 yards. Jets turn around and get into field goal range and set up their kicker, Greg Zuerlein.
This ball will be spotted at the 40 near hash, an attempt of 50 yards by Greg Zuerlein. Snap a little bit high. Zuerlein with a line drive effort, and it is no good! No good, wide right!
Out of the hold of Morstead. The snap. The placement down. The kick is on the way. It's got plenty of distance. And it is no good. It floated right.
Oh, dear.
Heartbreak for the Jets as Zuerlein had it curve off to the right, and he can't hit from 50. And it looks like the Broncos will hold on and win this game by a point. Both kickers in tough conditions can't convert from 50 yards out. And 10-9, barring a miracle, is going to be the final.
4 or 5 sacks. I don't think we gave up any. You know, we had the one turnover, but look, it was, that was down to the wire.
Sean Payton waxing poetic about a 10-9 game that featured one touchdown, but he does point to the defense, 5 sacks, and how about this? Another 14 hits on Aaron Rodgers. This is why he was hobbling late in the game. This is why he looked really uncomfortable, and I'm sure those hits, they feel a little more aggressive and a little more intense when you're into your 40s. At least that's what the older quarterbacks will tell you. So the defense is where Bo Nix wanted to focus.
Can't say enough about our defense on this winning stretch. So, you know, they're going to continue to give us the ball back. Now we got to find ways to score, you know, more than just, you know, a few points.
Too many poor throws, and then we just missed some easy stuff, you know, some protection stuff that should have been easy, some route adjustment stuff that should have been easy. We're just, I don't know, our focus just wasn't as sharp as it's been the first 3 weeks.
Interesting to hear Aaron Rodgers say that. And I did hear it multiple times on the postgame. I also heard him say the weather sucked and I sucked and I missed a lot of open throws. And also there were, weirdly enough, at home, the Jets dealing with pre-snap penalties, 13 penalty flags for Aaron Rodgers and his offense.
I don't know. I mean, we do all this stuff that we did today. We do it every day in practice. We change cadences every walkthrough. So I'm not sure. That was way out of character for us.
We had opportunities for some goal from the one. We've got to be able to put it in. Didn't. Had the ball twice with a chance to win. Didn't. Weather withstanding, you got to play detailed. When it's sloppy outside, you've got to be detailed. And we had too many self-inflicted wounds.
Yeah, so both kickers missed 50-yarders, roughly 50-yarders in that final couple minutes. So each team had a chance, and as Sean Payton points out, the conditions are tough for kickers. Zuerlein, he can't be blamed for this whole thing as much as people want to zero in on one play. This was a disaster for the Jets, and they fall to 2-2, losing to a rookie quarterback in the Broncos at home, and honestly, miserable. It's hard to understand how it could be this bad, giving the Broncos defense some credit, of course, but they've got so many new pieces themselves. Really, Patrick Surtain is their only remaining veteran. So much turnover for this team on defense, and yet they are playing tough. And Vance Joseph is a big reason why. Remember, he was the head coach there with the Broncos. He got fired. He's returned now under Sean Payton as the defensive coordinator, which is really a role that fits him the best in his time in the NFL. And so he's been able to figure out ways to give them chances to win. And the Broncos and the Jets have the same record, which kind of blows me away considering the expectations for the New York Jets. Though it is early. Where is the wacky and the weird in the first month of this NFL season? I like the post from Matt who says Derrick Henry leads the NFL in rushing yards after how it started. Yeah, pretty crazy, right? And there has been more of an emphasis on rushing yards, more of an emphasis on running the ball. And so for the Derrick Henry addition to the Baltimore Ravens backfield, terrific. And coming up at the top of the hour, we'll welcome Rob Long, who will join us from our Baltimore affiliate in advance of his own show, 105.7 The Fan. He's got the Big Bad Morning Show with a cast and crew of thousands. So yeah, we'll talk to him about the Ravens rally on Sunday Night Football and how dominant they were against the Buffalo Bills. Still have games to come, although I like the progress we're making here on Sunday Night Football. We have not talked about that Saints-Falcons game yet, which was terrific out of the NFC South. So we'll get to that one next. At A-Law Radio, wacky and weird. I also put the post up on our Facebook page finally, and very soon we'll get to that Monday MVP poll. We'll keep you busy at Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
This report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. Let's kick off with Sunday Night Football in Baltimore, where just about everything went the Ravens' way.
Jackson takes the snap, turns, hands it off. Henry straight ahead, lost the ball. It's recovered in the end zone by who? There is a massive pile. Rosengarten was there, had a chance at it. He lost it. Who came away with it is the question.
Ugly things happen in those piles, Ryan.
The Ravens have the ball. Patrick Ricard has recovered it.
Recovered by the offense in the end zone. Touchdown.
And it will be a Ravens touchdown.
Ryan Ratke and Mike Golic on Westwood One. The Ravens beat the Bills 35-10. Lamar Jackson with two touchdown passes and that touchdown run. Derrick Henry rushing 24 times for 199 yards and a touchdown. Elsewhere, Chiefs 17, Chargers 10, Raiders 20, Browns 16, the Bucks over the Eagles 33-16, Commanders 42, Cardinals 14, Niners beat the Patriots 30-13, Broncos 10, Jets 9, the Colts beat the Steelers 27-24, Texans 24, Jaguars 20, Bengals get their first win, beat the Panthers 34-24, Bears 24, Rams 18, Vikings over the Packers 31-29, and the Falcons beat the Saints 26-24. Now to baseball, the Diamondbacks over the Padres 11-2, Mets beat the Brewers 5-0, Royals over the Braves 4-2. Mets and Braves will play a doubleheader Monday afternoon in Atlanta starting at 1:10 Eastern. Each team needs one win to clinch a playoff spot. The Diamondbacks need a sweep from either the Braves or the Mets to clinch a playoff spot of their own. The Marlins announcing manager Skip Schumacher will not return next season. The Twins announce Rocco Baldelli will return as manager next season. WNBA playoffs, the Liberty over the Aces 87-77. The Sun beat the Lynx 73-70, and the United States won the President's Cup for the 10th straight time. I'm Peter Schwartz.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
To the near side. Shahid will signal for the fair catch and fumble the ball. Scramble in the end zone. Atlanta's got it. Oh, my heavens. Kadarrell Hodge was down there. I don't know if he's the guy that fell on it or not.
Well, Shahid completely lost where he was on the field. He signals for a fair catch and actually tries to field this at the 2-yard line.
It is a touchdown for Atlanta on Kadarrell Hodge's fumble recovery in the end zone.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, quite a start for this NFC South battle between the Saints and the Falcons. We should have known from the opening seconds that it would be wild. Also, wacky and weird. Wild, wacky, and weird. Those are great words to apply to the first month of the NFL season. Where is the wild, the wacky, the weird in this first month? Also, you can vote for a Monday MVP. Poll is up at Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page momentarily. I'll put it up there as soon as I get done talking. Yeah, there was a muffed punt after the opening drive by Atlanta. I'm telling you, that's a theme. Through the first 4 weeks, we've seen special teams really inject itself into a bunch of games. But on Sunday, we had 5 muffed punts and at least 2 fumbles of kickoff returns. So it was special for the special teams. And you hear with Wes Durham on Falcons radio, the Kadarrell Hodge touchdown right off the back. However, the Saints are able to rally a familiar face in the backfield for New Orleans.
Taysom has the football right side, looking for a crease. Taysom Hill plunges into the end zone. Taysom Hill keeps the football. He fumbled it last year in this building on a late drive. Not this time. The Saints answer. They get in the red zone and they get the touchdown from 2 yards out. Got the first down just inside the 10. Hand off. Taysom Hill gets it left side, and he just stands up. Didn't even get close to being tackled. And Taysom Hill takes it in for his second touchdown. Taysom! Touchdown, Saints!
The call's there on the Saints radio network. Unfortunately, a chest injury or a re-aggravated chest injury knocked him out of the game. But he is able to score a pair of touchdowns around a Kirk Cousins interception. Stop me if you've heard that before, Falcons fans. So 14-7 is the score at that point. Atlanta tacks on a field goal, but then on a tipped ball, there's a whole lot of trouble for Derek Carr.
Carr going to try and make the quick throw, batted in the air, intercepted. Anderson's got it. 35-30, 25-20, 10-5, touchdown Atlanta. He beat Olave to the end zone. Falcons have gone in front on Troy Anderson's pick six.
His first career interception return for a touchdown. Yeah, Matthew Judon gets a hand on it, tips it up in the air, and Anderson is able to come down with it. So it's 17-14 Falcons at halftime. And then we've got three field goals in a row. Okay, punch, punch, counter punch. There's still plenty of action to come. A six-minute drive into the red zone. But five snaps. With no success for the Saints. Now, the New Orleans defense, it does its job as well. It forces a three and out and gets the ball right back to Derek Carr. So, yeah, I kind of wondered who's going to come up with the next explosive play. Because it felt like a bunch of baby steps, but we needed some giant step for a team to take command. So Carr, with his next opportunity in the second half, he's using all of his weapons, and that includes his cowbell running back.
Two tight ends, I formation. Morrow. Handoff, Alvin Kamara. He gets pushed into the end zone by Adam Prentice. Alvin Kamara. Touchdown, New Orleans. Woo! Left side, that 1 yard.
That is boss fullback lead, and that is all Alvin Kamara.
Oh, yeah. The more Alvin Kamara, the better for the New Orleans Saints. And I'm sure Derek Carr knows that. It's after hours with Amy Lawrence. So on that touchdown, they take the lead. The Saints are back in front. And remember, last week they lost, was it 15-12 to the Philadelphia Eagles? And Carr had a couple of turnovers, and their offense was very stunted. But they got the lead, but Atlanta gets the ball back with a minute to go. No, it's not the fault of the officials, but I do love it when there's a little controversy mixed in.
So here we go, snap to Cousins. Kirk looks, going to take the shot. Mooney's there. Darnell comes back, can't make it. Penalty on New Orleans and a Debo for pass interference. And the penalty occurred right around the 40-yard line of New Orleans. Comes with a first down in 23 seconds.
Well, Mooney gets him on an out and up. I can't believe that he bit on the outside move. Adebo has been taken advantage of by Mooney all day.
Snap spot. Kick from Koo is away. And it is good! 58. The money shot for Younghoe Koo.
How about that? Wow.
Listen to the crowd there in Atlanta. Wes Durham with the final calls there on the Falcons radio network. Yeah, 30-yard pass interference in that final minute that put Kirk Cousins and his offense deep downfield and into range I guess. I mean, this was the career long for Young Wei Koo. We didn't really know if it was in his range, but it was a 58-yard game winner as time was expiring. So New Orleans goes 3-for-4 in the red zone, but has a couple of turnovers, and both of those turnovers leads to Atlanta touchdowns. So therein lies the crux, right? You can't turn the ball over like that and give your opponent not just extra opportunities, but give your opponent those points. And this one, really frustrating, of course, for the Saints, because back-to-back weeks, they're right there at the end and can't pull out the dub.
We have to play better. We can't spot a team 14 points, a good team, and expect to win those type of games.
Oh, that one hurts. And you try your best not to be so angry, you know, about it. You know, but you hate losing.
That's interesting, because I can imagine there are a lot of fans out there who are really angry about it, especially because it came against the Falcons. Raheem Morris, he's got his team on the right track. Now, still, these teams are both 2-2. There's a long way to go. And the Buccaneers also in that division. Come on. Is the NFC South really going to be one of the tougher divisions in football? Right now, they've got the Panthers at the bottom of the division at 1-3. But yeah, I mean, I can see where these three teams, Bucs, Falcons, Saints, would do a lot of mixing it up this season, like we've become used to. So Raheem Morris has his Falcons all three facets of the game contributing. They scored on offense, they scored on defense, and they scored on special teams.
Obviously, the results today when you get the win, and then obviously, man, you get out there, you get a chance to get out there and play that way and to finish it the way it finished, a complete team win across the board, you know, cool finishing that thing off for us. So many things you can correct, and it's always nice to correct those things in a win.
There's a lot to fix, and so you come away saying, I'm so glad we won, but you know, I'm going to be voice memoing on the way home to the coaches with some thoughts on how I got to be better and how we got to build on it.
You know what that reminds me of? Peyton Manning. He talks about how he voice memos people, and Eli makes fun of him because they'll have an idea or they'll have a conversation with a coach or a quarterback in advance of their Monday Night Manning broadcast. And Peyton will call and leave Eli a 7-minute voicemail. So that's what it reminded me of when I heard Kirk Cousins say that he might be voice messaging the coaches on the way game. So Falcons get the edge over the Saints in a wild one that goes down to the wire. Both teams 2-2 now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.